I appreciate Sam leading us in some of these songs that are very appropriate for our theme that we are studying this morning and even this evening as we think about Christ and His church and the church that we read about in the New Testament. Certainly this is a study that all Christians need to be involved in, that we all need to remind ourselves, even though some of these facts may be quite familiar to us and things that we have known for many, many years. We often need to remind ourselves even of the things that we are very, very familiar with just to stabilize our faith, to strengthen our faith, and to encourage us as we teach and preach and have opportunities to study the Word of God with other people, and especially as we study about the church. Because as we look at the world today, you drive down almost any street in America, in the world, you'll find a variety of churches. You'll find all kinds of names over all kinds of church buildings. You'll find all kinds of people professing some kind of faith. Most of what we are familiar with living in this nation would be of a Christian direction, a Christian orientation, and yet there are many other kinds of faiths and churches in the world that we know about and that we hear about and that we learn about and that we are surrounded with, and perhaps we have opportunity sometimes even to make acquaintance with people of other faiths, and we often have friends, family, neighbors, co-workers that are members of various kinds of churches. And so that presents us perhaps with a little bit of opportunity to study personally, and perhaps with these individuals at some point as well. And, you know, as you think about all of that, there's a phrase that we hear used very often in connection with being a member of a church, whatever kind of church it might be. There's a phrase we hear used very often in the landscape of faith that we see in our nation and in our world. And oftentimes we will hear the phrase used that a person should attend the church of his or her choice. Attend the church of your choice. It's a fairly innocent sounding phrase. In fact, it's an inviting sounding phrase, really. It sounds quite harmless. It sounds quite kind in many respects to all faiths. And yet, I think we need to spend a little bit of time thinking about that phrase. Because as I hear that phrase, attend the church of your choice, you know, there is a part of me that says, sure, you know, that sounds good. I like the way that sounds. I hope that would work and apply for everybody. There's a part of me, a small part of me, that feels, you know, like that would solve a lot of things. But there's another part of me that must be true to the Scriptures. There's a much larger part of my heart and mind that has studied much of this out and looks at a phrase and hears a phrase like attend the church of your choice, and I have a lot of problems making a full application of that phrase in the religious world. And in the religious world, it's not popular to say things like that. And I know that that's the case, and I know that sometimes saying things of this nature can be delicate. It is not my intention to be unkind. It is not my intention to be hateful or any of those kind of things that sometimes opposition is characterized as. But we simply must realize that if we're going to hear a phrase like that, maybe it's worthy to step back and to analyze it a little bit in light of knowledge that we already have about the Scriptures and in light of things that we already know that the Bible teaches. And then compare a phrase, and by the way, that phrase, you know, the church of your choice or attend the church of your choice, You don't find that phrase in the Bible, so obviously we're dealing with something that man has come up with. Man has come up with many catchy sayings that are perfectly fine. But how does that compare to what the Scripture says? And we need to spend some time analyzing, reasoning about this. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 8, the prophet Isaiah said, "Come, let us reason together." So sometimes we just need to step back and reason things out. Christianity is a rational religion. We're not asked when we become a child of God to check our brains at the door. We're not asked to set aside everything that we know or knowledge or intellect. We're asked to use it to the best of our ability. And while that phrase we often hear and that sentiment is often expressed by many in our world, conscientiously, I have to look at the Bible and analyze something like that as I would anything to see whether it really measures up, whether there really is a great deal of truth about it. And as you think about that particular phrase, and what we're studying today is about the church, and is it my choice or is it Christ's choice? We want to study about the things that would bring us closer to the Lord. The things that would bring us closer to Christ and the choices that He's made. Not what I've made, not what some man has made, but what has Christ chosen for us. And specifically as we think about the church, the body of the saved in Christ. And really, a phrase like that, kind of on its surface, has some faulty dynamics to it. It has some faulty elements to it. It's sort of interesting how in this world, where in the spiritual, you know, we have the physical realm and we have the spiritual realm. And in the spiritual realm, many people of faith, but many people are willing just to kind of say almost anything goes and it's much broader and less defined versus the physical world. Because in the physical world, a phrase about something of our choice, we understand, may have a lot less merit and may carry with it a lot of negative connotations. For instance, we understand in the physical world, and this somewhat morphs over into the spiritual, but just think about it from a physical standpoint. Is it okay to say, have the wife of your choice if you're already married? I mean that's a simplistic illustration, I understand. But, you know, if you're leaving your neighbor's house, and maybe there's several couples gathered there, can you just take any wife? Can you just take any child? You chose them. We understand that in some other areas also. Suppose you're sick and you go to the doctor. And the doctor says, well, here's your problem, and he analyzes it and gives you the terms and so on and so forth. And he says, now what you need to go do is go to the pharmacy and just pick any medicine of your choice. Any medicine will do. Any medicine will suit you. Any medicine is fine. And again, this is a simplistic illustration. You know, we know, I don't guess any real doctor is going to do something like that. But let's just think about it strictly from a logical standpoint. That there are things in the physical world that we would never allow. That we know are completely unreasonable and illogical. And really absolute nonsense. And completely faulty in their line of reasoning. You can't just have any wife that you want. You can't have just any child. Even though it's the child of your choice. And you can't help yourself physically if you've got a disease
by any medication of your choice. It doesn't work that way. And we understand that. And most of us have almost zero problem with that. So why is it when we make this transition over into the spiritual realm that we find that we open it up to almost anything? I mean, it doesn't make sense anywhere else. Suppose tomorrow morning you were supposed to go on a trip to, just name a state, Montana. I've never been there. So let's suppose that you were just supposed to go on a trip to Montana and you head down to Huntsville International Airport. Can you get on just any plane? Can you get on the plane of your choice? Does it work that way? That's a simplistic illustration. But it tells very much about our reasoning abilities. I mean, you know, most elementary school children know that's not how it works. So why about, you know, our spouse and our medications and airplanes? We understand this so clearly, so specifically. But then we come to the realm of the spiritual, which, by the way, I guess would weigh the most heavily of any area of our life, at least it ought to. And then we just kind of go off the rails a little bit and we say, it just doesn't matter. You just choose anything you want. Are we really being reasonable? Are we really reasoning together? You see, on the surface, that phrase is very faulty. And let me let's move on. Those are kind of large, you know, a large part of the introductory matters. But let's move on and let's think about something about salvation, because really that's what it all boils down to. You know, you get on the wrong plane instead of Montana, you go down to Fiji. Well, tough. You'll get back home eventually. You know, and things like that nature. But we're talking about salvation, and you need to be sure you're in the right place about salvation. I need to be sure that I'm in the right place when it comes to picking up my New Testament and reading and studying it, that I'm understanding it as best that I can, and I'm applying it as properly as I can. And I need to look at this New Testament to see what it is that God says about salvation. You know, in the Bible, let's make a little bit broader application here than just the New Testament for a moment. And let's think about some times in the Bible when God has limited salvation, so to speak, in a broad sense. Let's think about some times when God has limited salvation to His choice. Not man's choice. Not consensus or vote or majority rule. But let's think about some times when God has limited what He said He was going to do. Let's think about some times when God has limited salvation to His choice. In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, I ask you, did Noah's family have a choice of which ark to enter? You see, everybody outside of the ark perished. Did Noah's family have a choice about which ark to enter? In Joshua chapter 2, you read about a lady there named Rahab. Did Rahab and her family have a choice about which house to be in to be saved when the walls of Jericho fell? Did they have a choice? You see, it had been very clearly explained to Rahab that You've got to be here if you want to live. You've got to be in this house. And all the other houses collapsed. And everyone else perished. Also in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, you read about a punishment that's brought on the Israelites because of their grumbling and complaining. And God sends a plague, a punishment among them, of poisonous snakes. And it bites many Israelites, and several of them die. But then they begin to realize their folly, and they plead with God for help and restoration and salvation. And Moses is instructed in Numbers chapter 21 to fashion a bronze snake and to put it up on a pole, and everybody who looked up at the snake would live and not die of the poisonous snake bite. Did those Israelites in Numbers 21 have a choice about which snake to look at, to live, to be saved and live? Was there really a choice there? Or was it, like with Noah and Rahab, God's choice? And then one more illustration that you read about in 2 Kings chapter 5 about a man named Naaman who was not an Israelite but a Syrian. And he had leprosy. And he went to the prophet to be healed. And the prophet sent word to him to go out to the Jordan River and to dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And after he dipped 7 times in the Jordan River, his leprosy would be healed. He would be cleansed. You remember the reaction that Naaman had? He was angry about that. And we ask the question here now, did Naaman have a choice about the Jordan River to be saved, to be healed, to be cured, and live? Well, you know, he mentions a couple of other rivers there, the Abana and the Pharpar. And he says, these are much nicer rivers. These are much better places. And I'd rather go there. That wasn't on the map. That wasn't on the radar. That wasn't God's choice. That was Naaman's choice if it had been up to him. That was what Naaman wanted to do if it had been up to him. But that's not what God said. See, just like Noah wasn't told, get in the ark of your choice. Rahab wasn't told, get in the house of your choice. The Israelites weren't told, look at the bronze snake of your choice. Naaman was not told, just get in any old river of your choice. Anyone will do, anyone is fine. No, God narrowed it down very specifically to one place. The Jordan River. You get in there, you dip 7 times, and you'll be healed. Finally, he did, and he was. Because he listened to and followed faithfully, not his choice, but God's choice. And so, this whole idea of doing anything that God commands us of our own choice doesn't fly very well. It's a faulty idea. And so, now we bring ourselves to ask the question, so where is salvation? Where has God put salvation? What is God's choice? We're not talking about a house or a snake or a river or an ark. We're talking about eternal salvation of our soul. What is Jesus Christ's choice? Because Jesus came to the earth to live and die for mankind, that lost man might be saved, that sinful man might be forgiven through His blood. So what is Jesus' choice of salvation? And I'll tell you, just kind of as a commercial for the lesson tonight, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about two reasons very specifically why Jesus has the right, and really exclusively, He's the only one who has the right to make that choice. And if Jesus does have the right to make that choice, and we'll see that much more clearer tonight, much more vividly, much more in detail tonight, that He does have the right to make that choice about where salvation is, about where it is that I need to be to find salvation, to have salvation, then if that is the case, then where is it? And if I can find from the New Testament, if I can find from my Bible where that is, then that's where I want to be. And that's where all lost people need to be. Because that's where Jesus said, that's the choice, that's the place, that's the location that Jesus said, here's where salvation is. That's where I want to be. Not my choice. Not yours. Not anyone else's. I want Jesus' choice. And that's the only place that I want to be found. Not only do I want to be found there, that's where I want to stay. And so as we now proceed to answer the question about what is Jesus' choice and where is salvation and what is Jesus' choice, well, of necessity, we come back to what the New Testament calls, most of our English translations, the church. The called out, the saints. The church is not this physical building that we're sitting in right now. The church is something much larger than that. The church is people. The church is comprised of individuals. The word in the New Testament means the called out, meaning people. Called out of the world. Called out of sin. Not a physical geographical location. But it is the spiritual place where salvation is located. That's where we need to be. And that's where we need to stay. And so I encourage you, if you would, to turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to look at three or four passages in the book of Ephesians that will help us as we proceed to answer this question, at least for the few more minutes that we have left this morning. I think we all understand that salvation is, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 10 tell us, salvation, we are saved by grace through faith. So salvation is by the grace of God and my faith. It's not grace alone, it's not faith alone, it's grace through faith. They must both be there together. And as someone has said, sort of in an elementary fashion, grace is what God does, faith is what I do. Grace is God's part, faith is my part. I bring grace to the table. I bring faith to the table. God brings grace to the table. And you put those together, and you find salvation. Now, I must obey. I must fulfill all the things that God wants me to do. But I've got to find that place where these come together. And so we're saved by grace through faith and our obedience to the commands of the Lord. But how is it that I find myself in that place? Well, we've got to be where salvation is. Yes, salvation is through the blood of Jesus. Salvation is through my faith in God and Jesus and the Spirit and His Word. My faith is in all those things, but where am I right now to be found where salvation is? I need to be found in the place where God has put salvation, and God has put salvation in those people who are called out. The church. They are saved by being in the church. They are in the church because they are saved. That's the body of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at the last two verses of chapter 1. And He put all things, Ephesians 1:22, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. You see, verse 22 and 23, there's not a break in the sentence. There's not a break in the thought. And don't let yourself think that those are two separate thoughts just because they're divided up by verses. That's only
for our ease of finding the verses in the Bible that those numbers are there. If you just read the sentence like it's supposed to, it's that Jesus is the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So the church is His body. His body is the church. And so if God has located salvation in His body, if God has located salvation in His church, if it's in through Jesus and the people of Jesus, that's where I need to be. Look back in Ephesians chapter 1 at verse 7. In verse 7 it says, in Him, Jesus is who it's talking about, in Him we have redemption, not salvation, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, that's salvation, according to the riches of His grace. So it's in Him. And what is Jesus? He's the head over the church, which is His body. If in Him we find salvation, if in Him we find redemption, if in Him we find the forgiveness of sins, then I want to be in Him. And He is what? The head of the church, which is what? His body. That's where I want to be found. That's where I need to be found. And that's where I need to remain. Because we know that Christ loved Himself enough to give Himself to purchase us out of sin. Again, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. If you would look at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 23. Ephesians 5, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And He is the Savior of the body. You see how church and body are used there? And that it's about Christ and that He's the Savior. Savior, salvation. You see how those go together? That Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives. How? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her. You see, Jesus died to purchase the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 tells us that He purchased the church with His own blood when He died on the cross. So if Jesus purchased the church, if Jesus purchased those who were the called out, the body, if that's where forgiveness, redemption, and salvation are to be found, and if He is the Savior of the body, I want to be in the body. I want to be in the church. I want to be one of the called out. Because that's the only place that I'm going to find salvation. That's the only place that I'm going to find forgiveness. That's the only place that I'm going to find redemption. In Christ. In His body. Which is the church. Which is the saved. And so, is it my choice? Or His choice? Is it my idea? Or His idea? Is it my church? Or is it His church? Which do I decide? There is a choice to make. There is a choice to make. But it's not about attending the church of your choice, because that choice has already been made. Your choice, my choice, here's what it is. Will I attend the church? Will I be a member of the church of Christ's choice? That's my choice. Will I be a part of what Christ has already chosen? Will I be a part of what Christ has already purchased with His own blood? Will I be a part of where forgiveness is found? Will I be a part of where redemption is found? Will I be a part of the body, which is the church, which is
the call out. Christ has already made the choice of where the saved are. Christ has already made the choice of where salvation is. Christ has already made the choice of how salvation comes to us. It's up to me to respond appropriately by grace through faith. I believe these things because the Bible teaches them. Not because some man's come up with a phrase that sounds catchy and attractive. But I believe what the book says. And I put my faith and my trust and my confidence about all my future right there. And because I believe what it says, and because I want to be no longer part of the lost, but part of the saved, I'm going to make that transition from being lost to being saved. From being outside of the body to being in the body. I turn from my sins. The Bible calls that repentance. And I am moving toward, with my faith, salvation. I know that that salvation is only through Jesus because He purchased the church. And so now I want to live like Jesus. So I turn from my sins. I repent. And I'm moving toward salvation. And because I'm moving toward salvation, I know that only in Jesus Christ is where that's found. Only in His body. And so I acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior. That Jesus is the Messiah. That Jesus is the Son of God. And I'm moving even closer to being outside of the church, the body, to inside. I've believed. I've repented. I've acknowledged. And as I'm making that transition that faith is driving me toward and the grace of God is covering, we learn that Jesus said, Jesus, remember, the Savior, the one who purchased the church, the one who died on the cross, Jesus said, Mark 16, He, that's anybody, whosoever, some translation, whosoever believes, faith, whosoever believes, and, an important conjunction there that links everything that's said after it as equal with everything said before it. So, belief and is immersed shall, that's a definite, be, that's a definite, saved. That's salvation. And now, lost man has made the journey from being outside of the body to now being part of the body, inside the body, where salvation is. John 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So this morning, we extend the invitation of Christ as we sing an invitation song. If you're not in the body of Christ, you can become part of the body of Christ. You don't join the church of your choice. This morning, you can become a part of the church of Jesus' choice. Would you choose that? Today, would you come as we stand and we sing?